Direct from Music City, this is Live from Nashville.
In the middle of the night, I hear a cornfield cow cry. Up at the moon, no matter what sky I'm laying under. In the eye of a hurricane, when I got one foot in the grave, I'll dig my boots into the dirt.
Welcome to Live from Nashville, and that's Lainey Wilson, Wildflowers and Wild Horses, to kick things off today on this frigid day in Nashville, Tennessee. And joining me is my not-so-frigid wife. I have to be careful, don't I? My co-host. My co-host, Mary Kay Holt. Good morning, darling. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, gosh. Well, talk about not frigid. We have a hot, hot show today on this cold, snowy day in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's a great show to kick off our one-year anniversary with Live from Nashville. So does it seem like it's been a year, darling?
It doesn't. But, you know, this show has been so fun to be able to hear and interview new artists. And we've got two returning artists with us today.
We're going to have a great time today because we have some of my favorite people joining us. Surrender Hill, Robin and Afton Salamone are joining us for the first part of the show, and then Bobby Marquez will be joining us for the second part of the show. But right now, we're going to listen to a great song by Surrender Hill. It's called If This Ain't My Rodeo, and we'll be back with my hot wife in just a moment on Live from Nashville.
If this ain't my rodeo, if this ain't my big show, if this ain't my honky-tonk, well, tell me, where do I go? Well, I'll go down to the Guadalupe with my favorite girl, and we'll sit there on the bank and give this lovesick thing.
Georgia, we've got wonderful artists with us today. We've got Robin and Afton Salamone, and their band is Surrender Hill. And this band is a combination of Americana, outlaw country, and Western music. And their music is, their latest album is Just Another Honky Tonk in a Quiet Western Town. We love that. Coming to you from the Western music world, I can feel that Western element in their music. Please welcome Surrender Hill.
Hey,
how are
hey.
Y'all doing?
We're doing well,
good.
Thank you.
Hey,
we
Robin.
Were talking
hey,
before...
hey, Gary.
good to have you guys.
Nashville got slammed with snow, but we were talking to y'all, and you didn't get any snow in Georgia.
No.
Nope, no snow. Just a lot of cold air, but no snow. I wish we would have snow if it's going to be this cold, but, you know, hey.
Well, it's pretty, but you don't have to fool with the highways. And I'm telling you what, they're slicker than all get out right now. Yeah, everything is closed down. Schools are out. Some schools for the entire week. Some schools for 2 or 3 days. But but it is sure pretty. It is sure pretty. So maybe you'll get some snow a little bit later in the year. Maybe you'll get some. Or come to Nashville and just, you know, we'll give you what you want up here.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. There you go. Well, it is so good to have you guys with us. And for our audience that's listening for the first time, as you as our guest, tell us a little bit about where you're from, and I'm real interested in how you guys met.
Well, as a duo, we formed Surrender Hill in Sedona, Arizona. And I had kind of landed there in 2011, end of 2010, 2011. I was doing a lot of traveling across the South, and I ended up actually just breaking down. My vehicle broke down in the Painted Desert one day, and I got towed to Winslow. Yeah, and I had to spend 10 days in Winslow, Arizona, while my vehicle was getting worked on. And while I was there, I caught a ride with some people from the hotel to Sedona, and I just fell in love with Sedona the minute I saw it. So decided that when the vehicle was fixed, I would make Sedona my home and start playing music around Arizona. So I did that. And right around that same time, Afton, she grew up in that area in what's called the Verde Valley in Camp Verde. And she, around exactly that same time, moved home from New York City, where she had been for about 8.5 years. And she started, you know, kind of playing music around town a little bit. And she ended up working with a guy that was the bass player in my band. And so she and I met through him. And we kind of like had this relation, this friendship on the periphery. You know, we were never really, we were just always doing, playing music at the same time, you know. So we never really got to ever hear each other or hang out or anything like that. And it took about, probably after about 2 years of knowing each other. And then we started doing some work together, and she fell hopelessly in love with me immediately.
Obviously, Robin, it was not love at first sight if that was 2 years after, you know.
But, hey, take it easy.
Don't ruin the story, Gary.
I'm sorry.
She had just moved home from New York City, man. You've got to have a hard heart in New York City, so, you know.
Well, Afton, what were you doing in New York for 8 years?
I was a professional dancer and choreographer. That was sort of my first passion in life. But, yeah.
That's fascinating.
And so when did you start singing?
Well, not officially until I moved back to Arizona. You know, in New York, it's the starving artist lifestyle was exactly what I was looking for when I first moved there. But and it was amazing. I wouldn't change a thing. But after a while, you know, the city sort of wore me down, and I needed a change. But while I was there, I'd always written poetry. I've always, you know, music has always, you know, there's a lot of music in my family. So I've grown up around it. And so I wrote a lot of poetry in New York. And then when I moved home, I kind of went through this phase of maybe some depression or something like that. I thought I'd kind of given up, but I needed another creative outlet. And so my dad taught me, you know, a few chords on the guitar, and I started kind of playing around with some of that poetry and turning it into songs. And so that's really when I started songwriting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Robin, what about you? When did you start with your music and how did that happen for you?
I started kind of probably around when I was 15, I went to a boarding school. I, you know, my family moved from South Africa to Texas when I was 12. And we moved to this very large working ranch in Texas called the YO. And while I was on the ranch, I totally got into, the whole Western lifestyle and everything. And I loved that. But my folks sent us to a boarding school outside of Dallas in Denton. And Denton, you know, of course, has one of the greatest music schools in the nation, you know, at North Texas State University. And so this incredible creative, musical thing happening in that town. And I happened to have my roommate was from England. It was a boarding school, like I said. And so I had this roommate, and he was from England. He turned me on to all this punk rock and everything. And so I started really getting into the whole punk rock scene. But then I would go home, you know, for the holidays or summers, and I was a wrangler for my job, you know. And so I was kind of this weird sort of hybrid of punk rock cowboy thing. And around 15, 14 or 15, I literally traded in a saddle and a gun for a guitar at Gibson's in Kerrville, Texas. And so I had this guitar that I took to school. Yeah, I took this guitar to school, and this guy there started teaching me how to play guitar a bit. And I started writing songs, and I started a band in high school called The Empty Minds. That was pretty appropriate at the time. And I knew that music, that was it for me, you know. And that was the very, very early 80s. And when I graduated from high school, I moved to Estes Park, Colorado. And while I was living in Estes Park, the band U2 came through, and they played what is now a very, you know, iconic concert of theirs that they made a movie of at Red Rocks. That's called Under a Blood Red Sky. And I went to that show, and it really just kind of sealed the deal for me, you know, that I knew that that's what I was going to do. And my dad, you know, my parents were very supportive. They, their only stipulation was like, whatever you're going to do, do it well and to your best ability. And I had kind of this crossroad where I was either going to go to Utah and work on a ranch out there with a mutual friend, and or go into music. And I really, the summer of 1983 was kind of my deciding factor, you know, and I decided music was it. And so I started a band there in Estes Park, and I knew that that wasn't going to fly. So I moved those guys. They were still in high school, and I moved them to Austin, Texas, to the great chagrin of their parents, obviously. I was a popular guy. Yeah, while they were senior in high school. we were living in an apartment in Austin and playing the scene, and they were going to high school every day, and then we would go, you know, I'd wait for them, and we'd go to rehearsal and kind of pushing the peanut. But then I got an opportunity. I wrote a song in 85. There was this whole, you know, the whole Band-Aid thing and all that stuff in the 80s with saving the world and all this kind of thing was really big with a lot of the music and everything, bands and stuff. And there was a foundation that was doing a program, a big convention thing in New York City. And they were bringing all these kids into sing at the United Nations. And basically what had been happening was they were collecting letters from children all around the world asking for peace. And it was really cool. And, of course, this when, you know, the Iron Curtain was still up and in full blast. And so an American kid and a Russian kid at the time, a child from the Soviet Union, the two of them delivered these truckloads of letters to the United Nations and dumped them there. So I heard about this whole thing through my parents, and I wrote a song and I sent it up, and they loved this song. So they invited my band to come and perform the song at the United Nations, which was a kind of a pretty big thing for us.
It was a big thing
at the time. Yeah, it was awesome. And so we went to New York City, and they put us up, you know, we went up to the Bronx to this public school up there to rehearse with all these kids, and it was just a great experience. And then they put us in a recording studio for a couple of days, and so we had this, and we actually, this was a funny thing, is, you know, we're three, like, punk rock kids, you know, and self-taught musicians and everything, and we got a concert, we played a concert at Juilliard.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And so we were told, you know, we're doing this concert, and we were, you know, the three of us were just completely, you know, distraught, because we're like, come on, man, you know, we all play like six chords, you know. But it was amazing, these kids at the school, you know, we set up in the auditorium, and it was like the Beatles had arrived, you know. Oh, it was wonderful. It was the most incredible reception, you know. And that whole experience, you know, told me that we needed to either be, you know, in LA or in New York City. You know, Austin at the time in the 80s, I mean, it was a great music town, you know, always has been. And it was a good punk rock music town at the time. But things were very slow moving there. And, you know, I just kind of felt like I needed, you know, we needed to be someplace where it was a little faster. And that was the reason I chose New York City, was I had the opportunity to spend quite a bit of time in Europe. And I loved, you know, at the time, I loved the whole concrete and gray and dingy kind of feel. And New York in the 80s was certainly that, you know. So we moved there, and my band, you know, moved there, and we kind of hit the pavement for about 2.5 years it took us, and then one wonderful Tuesday night at about 3 a.m., there was happened to be a guy in a club called CBGB's that we were playing in, and he was a producer, and he was one of about seven people there, and he ended up working closely with me and got us a deal with Epic at the time, which then moved to Sony. And so we did that for about 5 years. I had this band that put out a couple of records with Sony, and we were out on the road and everything. But I tell you what, the Western roots just kept crawling into me, you know, and the time spent on the YO Ranch, you know, at the time, that music, that Texas music, I loved it. But it wasn't, it didn't really, you know, it didn't really hit home and resonate, you know. And growing up in South Africa, Chris Christopherson was a huge artist in South Africa. So I grew up listening basically to Chris Christopherson, you know, from when I was five. And I loved that kind of music. I never, it never really, you know, came, just kind of started coming out of me until the late 90s, you know. And it was through songwriting. Yeah, I think it's the songwriting aspect of it. No.
So you guys were both in New York. Were you there at the same time, Afton, or different times?
Completely different decades.
Yeah.
Wow.
But parallel experiences. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I know. We talk about that all the time, about getting back and sharing each other's New York, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have yet to go there together.
Yeah, that needs to happen.
Oh gosh. Hey, I want to get to some music. Okay, this is fascinating. This, you know, your stories are fascinating. We haven't even talked about the Africa time for Robin and more to talk about with Afton, but let's get to some music. This, I love this song. This is called Tumbleweed. We're going to listen to that and come back and talk more with Surrender Hill today on Live from Nashville.
Shopping malls are rolling down the doors, turning out the lights. tasted wine between the empty buildings. Echo like a canyon in the moonlight, but we're all right. I thank God we're all right. I think about good people in the river, drowning in the fire. But we are helpless in our shelter. What are the reasons why? The parks where children played and chased each other are silent as a graveyard at midnight. But we're all alone. I thank God we're all. Thank God we're all right. I'm grateful for the life that we've been given. Hold my baby tight. Live each day like it could be our last. Please God, let us sidewalks where a thousand feet would gather just to greet and talk about the weather are now as lost and lonely as a desert. Tumbleweed.
Closely that time to the percussion for a very particular reason, because before the show came on, we were talking a little bit about your son. His name is Ren, and he's showing some promise as a drummer. Afton, can you tell us about your upcoming band member here?
Well, our son, Ren, he is 5 years old, and you know, he's obviously been surrounded by drums and music since he was in the womb. I mean, I think we played a gig maybe up until 2 days before I gave birth.
Oh, wow.
but yeah, he's got incredible rhythm and just this innate, you know, love for music. And we're working on a new album, actually. And so we had our drummer, Matt Krause, come down from Nashville to lay down some drums in the studio. And that was, Ren was in there with us, and he just, like, got sucked in. And he, you know, he wanted to film Matt. And now he, with all of the videos that we took, he just watches and mimics, and he does air drums. And then we'll put him in front of the, you know, the full kit, and he'll just start playing. It's incredible.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And he's,
you know,
super,
I was
like, he wants to, he's driven, like he wants to practice, like he's working really hard.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you know a child is really loving something, when they become immersed in it.
Yeah.
And it really
yeah.
takes that kind of immersion to write music, to be a true musician and get lost in it. And mm-hmm. I was looking at your schedule. You guys are so, so busy. It's wonderful for your fans to be able to have these opportunities to hear you sing. But I'm wondering how you balance that. Does Ren come along with y'all very often?
Yeah, sometimes now. I mean, we've gone through phases where we're blessed to have some wonderful friends and family surround us to help us, you know, when he needs to stay home or things like that. We definitely went through a phase where he didn't want mommy to sing. You know, I think it was he wanted my attention. But
yeah.
But now he loves the music so much that he'll come along and he'll just hang, you know, and sing along in the audience.
Right.
And people, I think a lot of people get a kick out of watching him watch us.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
love
definitely
that.
Coming. He's becoming the draw,
yeah.
but whatever. Wherever works.
Yeah, yeah.
He will be the star one day. You guys will be back in him.
It's going to keep happening,
harmony.
Y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. So tell us about the new album that's in the works.
So, yeah, new record. We're sort of fleshing out about 22 songs and then going to whittle it down from there. But it's been a very different album. There is a little bit of kind of a little bit of rock and roll, alt rock kind of pushing into the Western side just a little bit, and it's kind of developing what we're almost calling Southwestern soul. You know,
yeah,
this, very nice.
Yeah, there are some tunes that are very you know, just shine with the whole Western feel and everything, for sure, because we love that so much. But there are some songs that are coming from a you know, more serious and slightly darker place, and those ones have sort of called for, you know, bigger guitars and just some darker tones on drums and everything. And you know, Afton and I both over the past 18 months, especially Afton, but we both lost a few people that were dear to us that very just kind of out of the blue, you know, and it really pushed us into a place of trying to really look at every day and appreciate every day. And that's a lot of the reason why we've started trying to really bring Ren along to the gigs. You know, we just want time, you know, we want as much
right.
time together. And just preciousness happen, you know. And so there are some songs that were written for the album, and you guys know how this is, but just purely from a cathartic standpoint, you know, to get through it. And
right.
yeah.
you know, and every time, you know, you perform a song like that, it's you're healing just a little bit more, you know. And so it's kind of a precious record for us, and I think that's why it's taken us. You know, we've been working on it now for about 4 months, and there's just a lot of back and forth on some of these songs and just trying to get it right, not from a listener standpoint, but right from our standpoint, you know, where we feel exact like, wow, this song is it's sounding and feeling and just it's magical for us. The way that it's done now, and now we can put it out there, and hopefully other people will feel the same thing, you know. So we're not really, and we don't usually ever really, I don't mean this to sound selfish or something, but we don't really think about the fans or people that are going to be hearing it. We just do it for ourselves, because we hopefully, if we do it right for ourselves, everyone else will like it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that. I think that's the way it should be. You write what you feel
yeah,
and how
definitely.
You feel. And
yeah, if you think yeah. too much about, you know, how to, you know, what are people wanting to hear, you know, and I've done that before, you know, you put something out, you know, what do people want to hear right now? And I don't know, you know, later on I've listened to those songs and they don't quite feel as connected to me as the ones that I, you know, that just come straight from inside and pour out correctly. And a lot of tunes, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of songs kind of we need to revisit, you know. We've got a couple of songs on this record that we've brought back that have been hanging around us for a while, you know, and they just weren't ready before. You know,
that is
the
true.
Other
sometimes that happens.
Yeah, they need to kind of marinate.
Well, I'm excited for the new album to come out, and I hope I get one of the first copies when it's ready.
You will.
So we sure want to have you guys. We sure want to have you guys back to the show and visit that again, and spend more time with you. Dadgummit, we haven't talked about a whole lot of stuff that I'd like to talk about.
Yeah, I get going, you know. I get going, and I start eating up the mess, man.
Well, hey, I like it. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, that's what this is about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to wrap this thing up. We look forward to having you guys come back. How can people find you?
Surrenderhill.com. That's the way to find
us.
Right. Just go on the socials and, you know, Spotify, of course.
Yeah. iTunes.
Yeah.
We're easy to find.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Surrenderhill.com. And they have a great Facebook page. You guys will enjoy it. You get to see Ren. That's the big thing about that. You can see Ren and him drumming.
Deal,
so that's
right
kind
there.
Of cool. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Happy anniversary to you guys for the show.
Well, thank you very much. 1 year. 1 year today. So that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
I love it.
Well, thank you guys so much. We look forward to having you back. Let us know when you're going to be back in Nashville. We sure want to make sure to see you this time. And we're going to end this segment of the show with a great song called Quiet Western Town. Our special guest has been Surrender Hill. You guys are awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Seven towns. 7 days pulling quiet that I can't stay. Truck stops and highways are drowning out my memories. She said, slow down now, boy. Put up your feet and feel a little joy. Float on the river, settle down, stick around. My quiet western town.
Did I have Western town. Early rise now, sunshine. Time to get moving on down the line. The itch to go and the urge to fly. Early rise now, sunshine. Time to get moving on down the line before the lovebirds stop singing their lullabies. Their lovebird lullaby.
Time to move on, ain't no surprise. State to state, across county lines. Thought I'd burn that fever, but that's a lie. Gonna paint my name across the sky. Slow down now, boy. Put up your feet and feel a little joy. Float on the river, settle down, stick around. My quiet western town. My quiet western town.
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Live from Nashville, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and most streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. When we come back, we will be talking with the one and only Mr. Bobby Marquez.
Two-stepping in a honky-tonk in Beaumont, and walk the most beautiful girl that I had ever seen in my whole life, with a smile that was out of this world. Right away I knew that she was different. When I looked in her eyes I could see everything on earth I've ever wanted. And as we danced it slowly dawned on me, she's not from Texas, she's from heaven. Lone Star Angel sent God above. She's not from Texas, she's from heaven. From the first hello, I was so in love. We held each other close while the band played. We talked and laughed about all kinds of things. The magic way we floated round the dance floor made me sure she must be hiding wings. I thanked the man upstairs who sent her to me, even though I knew it was a loan. Promised him that I'd take good care of her till the day she had to go back home. She's not from Texas, she's from heaven. Lone Star Angel sent God above. She's not from Texas, she's from heaven. From the first hello, I was so in love. Here we go. She's not from Texas, she's from heaven. A Lone Star Angel sent God above. She's not from Texas, she's from heaven. From the first hello, I was so in love. Yeah, from the first hello, I was so in love. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Bobby Marquez. He is a multi-award-winning performer and he is a good friend. We're going to welcome to the show right now, Mr. Bobby Marquez. Hey, Bobby, how are you?
What are you doing, Gary and Mary Kay?
Well, trying to stay warm.
Snowed in, Bobby.
It's the award-winning Mary Kay and Gary Holt.
That is.
Y'all got to start saying award-winning now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But anyway, hey, I was reading through your bio a while ago, and I remember at one time we had talked about this. But for folks that are snowed in Tennessee and maybe not around the world, you grew up in Freer, Texas. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, Freer? That is right. It's a little town south of San Antonio, Texas. It's about a 2-hour drive from San Antonio, Texas. And it was just a small little town, 3,000 people.
Known for.
A little bit bigger. But you know, growing up, it was like I told everybody, we only had one stop sign growing up. So it was always the stop sign coming right through the town. So if you missed it,
yeah,
and you blinked, you missed Freer, Texas.
And then gone.
But it's known for its rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes, right? Known for rattlesnakes? Yeah, tell us about that rattlesnake.
And deer hunting. They have the Muy Grande deer hunting contest, which is the largest white-tailed deer hunting contest in the world. And they've had, I mean, all kinds of country stars go down there, and a lot of the Dallas Cowboys go down there to go hunting. But Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood also have a ranch down there close to where my dad's ranch is at.
Wow.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, did you tell me you ran into George Strait down there? Was he there for the rattlesnakes or the deer? Which was it?
Yeah, I did. Years ago, a long time ago, I did. I was probably, oh, gosh. I don't know. I think it was before. It was definitely before high school, and ran into him. He had actually come into our hometown to go hunting and for the Muy Grande deer hunting contest. And I think he actually won the most points on a deer that year. I think his deer that he killed, I think he had like 17 points on it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now I remember I lived in El Paso, Texas for a little while, and I remember driving through from Nashville to El Paso, and I recall going through some areas where they were having rattlesnake roundups and cookouts, or, you know, I love rattlesnake. I've eaten rattlesnake before. So do you like rattlesnake?
You know, to be honest with you, I never tried it. I had a chance to try it one time, and I thought about eating it, and I was like, I just can't do it. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it, the thought of it.
Mary Kay, have you had rattlesnake before?
I've had rattlesnake.
What's it taste like?
Actually, the texture is not bad at all, but it's just...
It's like chicken.
Like Bobby said, it's just the thought of it is just not exciting.
I guess if I was really, really hungry, you know, I guess I could probably take a bite or two.
Yeah, there you go. It's emergency food. That's
exactly.
Well, I was at a wild game dinner, and I'm going to tell you, I almost didn't get any rattlesnake because everybody was grabbing the rattlesnake. So it didn't last too long.
Kind of
tastes like chicken, I thought.
Yeah, you gotta remember to put the hot sauce on there. That way, it'll make the taste go away.
There you go. Gosh, you have been doing some traveling, my friend. I was looking. You've been to NFR in Las Vegas and performing really all over the country. So what's your year been like this past year?
God, this year was just, you know, it was so crazy. I've been really, really blessed this past year to do a lot of other shows, you know, that I had always dreamed about. You know, I had always dreamed to go to, you know, to the Cheyenne Frontier Days, and got to go down there and do a show down there. Got to go to Durango, Colorado to do a show down there. And, South Dakota, finally got to go up to South Dakota for the first time and do some shows up there, and then go to Vegas. And I've just been really blessed this past year, you know, a lot of stuff that I had dreamed about doing, and you know, had come to fruition, and I was able to do it, and, you know, and travel some of the country and enjoy it. It's just a, it's a really, really, you know, we have a really beautiful country, you know?
Yeah. 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 And I tell people when I talk to them that Tennessee is beautiful. I'm seventh generation Tennessean. And so I kind of have a really warm, warm spot for this state in my heart. But whatever part of the country you're in, you're going to find beauty. And Mary Kay spent most of her life in Utah, which is a beautiful state. But I love Colorado. I love New Mexico. There's just anywhere that you go in this country, I think you're going to find some beauty. And
Arizona. Oh, Arizona's so beautiful, too. I mean, just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm glad you're in Nashville. I'm glad we're in Nashville. And this is live from Nashville. And I want to get to another song from Mr. Bobby Marquez and come back
and do a little bit
more. Yeah, this is called Honky Tonk. We'll be right back.
Honky Tonk, don't take me in and tear me up tonight, but don't leave me to my loneliness. Don't lead me on with lies. Don't you fill me full of hope, then fool me in the end. Honky Tonk, don't you break my heart again. You always have a bar stool for me to set my troubles down. Trouble always finds me looking for a light. Sometimes I've got to wonder if you really are my friend. Honky Tonk, don't you break my heart again. Honky Tonk, don't take me in and tear me up tonight, but don't leave me to my loneliness. Don't lead me on with lies. Don't you fill me full of hope, then fool me in the end. Honky Tonk, don't you break my heart again.
Thinking earlier today, I mean, you just know everybody in the music business in Nashville, I got to ask you: is there one person that you have met that you were just in awe of? It was like, wow, I'm actually getting to meet this person. Is there one that stands out?
Yes, yes, and this happened this past year. I had never in my life got to meet him, and I was actually at the Hall of Fame induction this year for Tanya Tucker, and me and Jennifer were in the after the award show. They had a dinner and everything there, and so we're over there, and I'm standing there, and I remember Jim Lauderdale, the songwriter Jim Lauderdale, you know, passed in front of me. So we started talking, and all of a sudden, this guy with the big old cowboy hat walks in front of me, and I looked, and I go, oh my goodness, it's Dean Dillon. And
oh, wow.
I mean, Dean is probably my all-time favorite songwriter. You know, he's written so many songs with George Strait and, I mean, Keith Whitley. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And I stopped him, and we got to talk for a little while. And I was like, I was so nervous because I was just like, oh, my gosh, I finally got to meet Dean Dillon.
Oh, gosh. Well,
so how did it go, Bobby? Did you – when you started talking to him, was he like friendly and nice?
Well, you know, I talked to him because you know, he wrote the song Empty Glass with Gary Stewart. I mean, that he was he was the actual songwriter on that song, and I told him, you know, that I had recorded it and everything, and he was like, "Oh my gosh, really?" And I said, "Yeah." I said it was actually one of my most popular songs out there that a lot of people request even when I go to Texas. And he was like, "Oh my gosh, I'd love to hear that." And so we swapped numbers and email addresses and everything. And I sent him a copy and everything, and he loved it. And you know, and we just became friends. And, you know, we're even talking about maybe doing some songwriting together, you know.
Bobby, that is
and
so
and
cool.
So even, you know, Donnie Winters, right? You know, Donnie Winters.
Yeah.
The songwriter, Amazing. Donnie Winters. Well, we got to talking because I was hearing him on the radio. Dean Dillon, he was doing an interview, and he was talking about how before, you know, he became a big hit songwriter, he used to go out to Knoxville and go to this one club that used to be out there, and he used to watch a band called the Winters Brothers Band. And when I heard that on the radio, I was like, oh my gosh, he was talking about how he was a huge fan of the Winters Brothers Band, and that's Donnie and his brother were the ones that had that band. So I said, this is my chance. I gotta ask him about this. So I asked him. I said, "Hey, I said I've got a friend of mine named Donnie Winters, great singer songwriter." And he looked at me and he goes, "Donnie Winters?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "From the Winter Brothers band." He goes, "Oh my gosh!" He goes, "You know, they were one of my favorite bands growing up." And I said, "I know." I said, "I heard you doing an interview on the radio, and I heard that story, and I told Donnie about it." And I said, "You know," I said, "he would really love to talk to you and get to meet you." And he's like, "Let's make that happen."
That
was just really cool,
is,
you know?
So incredible.
You know? It was just really nice. Really nice guy. And he's just really down to earth, you know. But, you know, it's
great.
A small world.
Bobby,
it's a small world out
this
there.
This is why you know so many people, is because you care about people. You and your beautiful Jennifer do such a great job of, you know, not just knowing people, but learning about them. And that
I had good parents growing up. You know, I always try to treat people with respect and be nice, and you know, and I try to meet as many people as I can, and I've always been that way since I moved to Nashville. A lot of the times, you know, I've always, you know, put my friends first, you know, before me, and I've always, you know, try to help them. That's just the way I've always been. I've always been that way. And everybody's always like, "Well, why are you that way, Bobby?" I said, "Because I don't see myself any other way. I've always been that way, helping others and being friendly and stuff. That's just who I am. I've always been that way. I've always, you know, thought of other people first than myself. I mean, and that's just the way I've always been."
Well, it is, and you do such a great job with your St. Jude's benefit that you do every year, and so that is just an awesome event that you put on.
I'm so glad you guys finally got to make it out there and stuff. God, it was so crazy. I think I just got to see Mary Kay and give her a quick hug because everything was so crazy that night. But gosh, we had John Schneider and John Barry and Johnny Rodriguez, and God, the list goes on. Rex Allen Jr. That was one of the best nights.
Yeah, it was a great night. It was just
legend after legend that night. So
but crazy. I didn't get a hug. I didn't get a hug, Bobby. Mary Kay gets a hug, and I didn't get a hug.
You have to be in the right place at the right time, Gary.
I guess. Or I have to look like Mary Kay.
Raised,
I don't know what it is.
We raised the most money that we ever raised that night, and it was just, gosh, I mean, the people just come from all over the place, you know, and they, to help support. And, you know, this year we got a lot of support from new folks. And you know, John, when I called John Schneider and asked him if he could do it, he was like, I'm there. And sure enough, he showed up and he was there. And I was like,
oh my goodness,
man, we got so many people.
Yeah, he was so good.
Yeah, yeah.
So crazy.
Well, I want to get to another song. And this is a song that you did with Rhonda Vincent called For a While. Tell us about this, Bobby, and how did this come about?
Yeah, so For a While was one of the first songs that I wrote when I moved to Nashville. And I wrote it actually with a really good friend of mine who's no longer with us. She passed away a couple of years ago from ovarian cancer. And her name was Memory Job. If you know the big time producer, Jerry Cupid, who produced Ken Melons and stuff on George Jones and some stuff on Tim McGraw early in their career, Jerry had written all kinds of songs. Well, that was her dad. And Jerry was her dad. And I used to get together with her a lot of times, and I used to go over to Jerry's studio and do some demos and stuff. He'd ask me to come out there and sing on some demos, and he paid me and stuff, so I'd go over there to his studio and I'd sing demos and stuff. Well, I got to meet his daughter, Memory, and, you know, we became good friends, and she used to come over to my house and stuff. We used to sit and songwrite, and I had this song in my head, and I kept humming it, you know, for a long time. I just kept humming it and humming it and humming it. And I told her, I've got an idea. You want to come over? And she says, sure. So she came over and we sat down and started writing the song. And by the time I knew it, we had it done within an hour or so. But I never saw it as a duet. And she did. She had the sense of mind to hear the duet. And I didn't. I just kept saying, no, I don't think a duet's going to work. And anyway, we went ahead and we did the demo on it. And we ended up doing it as a duet. She sang on her portion, I sing on mine. And after a while, you know, through the connections that Jerry had with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, well, they had it on hold for a long time and wanted to record the song. So, you know, a year and a half, 2 years went by, and they still had it on hold because they ended up wanting to record it. So I couldn't pitch it to anybody else. Whenever
a song's on hold,
you can't pitch it to nobody else. You know, with that, you know, with somebody with that kind of stature, you can't pitch it. So it just sits there for a while, and you're just kind of on pins and needles. You don't know what's going to happen to it. And
I
so, you know, after a couple of years, they decided, you know, we're not going to do it. And they ended up doing that song, It's Your Love. So they ended up recording that one instead of ours. So ours just stayed there and ended up not being recorded. So after all these years, when I was putting this album together, my wife just said, you ought to think about doing a duet together with somebody. Do you have any material? And I said, yeah, I do. I've got one song. I said, but I just don't hear doing a duet with it still. You know, even though we did the demo on it, I said, I just can't hear it. And she's like, well, I let me hear it. So I played it to her, and she heard it, and she said, I think it is a duet. You need to do it with somebody. And I said, well, who can I do it with? I said, I don't really know who would fit me and my voice. She goes, I know who would fit. She said, Rhonda Vincent. And at that time, I kind of met Rhonda Vincent here and there, but I didn't know her. But my wife was real good friends with her and had her phone number. So Jennifer calls her on the phone and says, hey, look, you know, my husband wants to talk to you, you know, and about a song maybe y'all could record together. So at that point, you know, me and Rhonda hooked up and we started talking about the song. And, you know, she said, well, send me a copy. So I sent her a copy through email, and she listened to it, and she goes, count me in. I'll do it. And I'm like, really?
I'm like,
this is crazy.
I love it.
Do a duet with Rhonda Vincent. This is nuts. And so she goes, but there's one problem. And I said, well, what's the problem? She goes, I'm on the road touring, and if you want to get it done this quick, I don't know if I can do this. And I'm going, oh, no. I'm like, this is not good. Now my album's not going to be finished. I might have to end up finding somebody else. She said, well, give me a few days. You know, give me a few days to see what I can pull off. And I'm like, you know, I was like, this is not going to work. I might have to end up finding somebody else. And I was really down in the dumps, you know, because I couldn't get this album out. I still needed to record a couple more songs. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from her. She goes, can you go to the studio right now? And can you send me another version, a master copy? So, because I'm going into my studio up here. I've got like 2 hours to come in here and cut some vocals. And I'm back on the road. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So I had to call the guys at the studio. Get her the master on it so she can go into her studio and record the vocals. And here I am, I'm going, this is great, this is fantastic, but here's the problem. I'm like, this is not going to work because we don't even know how our voices are going to mesh. And if it sounds bad, this is going to be really bad. And so I was, you know, up in arms again. I'm like, this is not going to work. And so anyway, she got the vocals done. She sent them to our studio. I went into the studio and started recording the vocals. And I just recorded mine. And then the guy put her vocals behind me and put them right up there. And he goes, I want you to come in and I want you to listen to this. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. Oh, but he's saying it's not working. So I go in there and I start listening to the song. And all of a sudden I hear, you know, in her part, when she's backing me, I'm like, okay, that sounds good. That sounds really good. But how are we going to sound when we're together and we're actually singing together? And then I heard it and I go, oh my gosh. I'm like, wow. She made me sound 10 times better. I'm like, wow. They loved it. They go, this is great. This is a great. And I was like, oh my gosh. And you know, that was my big fear, was I didn't think we'd be able to pull it off, you know, with not being in the studio together and have that chemistry. But
Yeah. Gosh,
that chemistry was just there, like naturally, you know, because she has that type of voice that she could sing with anybody. Gosh, she can go sing with George Strait, Garth Brooks, and it's gonna fit.
She's amazing.
You know, she just has that universal voice and feeling, and I mean, it just fit real well with mine, and it was a huge song for me. It's really, really great recording.
Well, this is the Grammy-nominated For a While, Mr. Bobby Marquez and Rhonda Vincent. We'll be right back on Live from Nashville.
You were here for a while, sharing your kiss and your smile. You could calm my heart with just one touch. That's one reason I love you so much. If I knew then what I know now, my pride would not keep me from the love we found. For a while, you were here for a while. It felt so real, but there's no one on earth who could love me. And there's no one who could adore me like you did. For a while. You were here for a while, feeling your arms around me drove me wild. Getting lost in your eyes made me love you even more. It almost felt like we had opened heaven's door. Now I regret we let each other go. There's no one who could save my soul. For a while, you were here for a while. It felt so real, but there's no one on earth who could love me. And there's no one who could adore me like you did. For a while, we had everything
took it all for granted. If we could only get it back for a while. You were here for a while. It felt so real, but there's no one on earth who could love me. And there's no one who could adore me like you did. For a while.
For a while. Ooh.
For a while.
Wow. That song made a long journey to a beautiful destination, I'll tell you what.
You know, that song was it was one of those songs that it even stretched me as a vocalist, because, you know, I had to belt it out. I mean, and I had never done that in a lot of songs. You know, a lot of songs were all the time were like honky tonk songs or something, and the guys in the studio were like, "You're gonna have to belt this song out, Bobby. There's just no other way around it." I'm like, "Oh Lord." I'm like, boy, I hope this happens. Because even with me, I mean, you know, it was right there on, you know, on the edge of my vocal, you know, being in tune, you know, and hitting my range, you know. And yeah. I'm like, gosh, man, I hope it doesn't sound, you know, whiny and this and that, you know, when I'm singing it. And so I there was a lot of bad thoughts on this song that I had. But it was one of those things to where it was just kind of like, it's all in your head at the time when you're thinking about it. You're like, this is not going to work. This does not sound good. That doesn't sound good. My voice doesn't sound good. This doesn't. And then the guys in the studio are just sitting there going, wow, this is, sounds great. And I'm sitting there going, yeah.
Amazing.
And then when I listened to it, I was just kind of like, I was like, wow,
that sounds
it does
great.
Sound great, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm glad they pushed me, because if they didn't push me like they did, you know, I wouldn't have pulled this song off.
True. And Rhonda, wow, she's amazing on it.
Oh gosh, she has that this haunting voice. And I really truly believe that, I mean there's a lot of other people I could have sang it with, but there's just something about her singing that song, you know, that just it just made the song.
Uh-huh. I agree. It's gorgeous.
Well, it's a great song. Great, great, great song. And you done good on that one, my friend. You done good,
Bobby. Apparently,
you know,
the Grammys felt so too. The Grammy nominated song.
You know, there was little part, like right at that. Rhonda didn't sing. She was supposed to sing on, you know, when she's singing her part on the second verse of the song, when she's talking about, you know, Heaven's Door, and she's talking about, you know, looking into my eyes and everything like that. She was supposed to sing that part. It wasn't supposed to be me coming in. And when we got the master, I was like, she didn't sing that part. I'm like, oh no. I'm like, and she's gone. She's back on tour. What are we going to do? And I was like, oh no, this is a disaster. And then the guy said, no, hold on. Let me listen to it. And then they listened to it and they said, you know what? Actually, a guy could sing that part. You could actually come back and sing that part, because it's not a, It could go either way, and I'm like, I hope you're right. So I end up singing that part that she ended up not singing, and it worked.
Bobby, you just need to find another song that you just worry about the whole time, and it will be a success.
And then you'll have a hit.
Yeah. Well, I said you've done good, but you've done good in many, many ways over these years, and you've done good when you and Jennifer Herron got married. Such a talented, beautiful young lady. I don't know how you and I did it, but we sure married above ourselves.
We did pretty good, huh, Gary?
We did good. We both done good. We both done good.
I don't know how we pulled that off, but we pulled it off somehow.
Yeah. But Jennifer is multi-talented, so she is the producer on Crooked Chase, and I try to listen to that show on Saturdays when I'm getting ready in the afternoon. She has hosted the Ernest Tubb Midnight Jamboree. I think she did that, what, 17 years, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, it was like 17, 18 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and somebody told me the other day that since Jennifer left, that show has never, never been the same. So that was a mistake on their part.
I heard someone say that the other day. Yeah.
But.
Well, I appreciate that.
She now has a new radio show that she's doing, doesn't she?
She does. I'm so proud of her, you know, after all these years. God, she's so talented. She's so, you know, just, she just can do it all. I mean, you know, and of course she's producing the Crook and Chase National Countdown radio show. And then she's got her own PR, you know, firm that she's working
PR
with.
PR firm, yeah.
PR, including me. And then she's doing, you know, she's got an agent that she works with to do commercials and voiceovers and all kinds of stuff. And, I mean, she's just kind of everywhere and just kind of does it all. And now she's getting back into some of the radio thing. And I finally got to listen to her yesterday morning. It's on WYTM. It's in Fayetteville, Tennessee. And her old boss, John Malone, who used to be the WSM program director that she worked for, and then Kyle Cantrell's also on that radio station, who Kyle was the one that actually hired her to come from Texas to work on WSM. And so they're all together at that station now down in Fayetteville. But I got to listen the other day, and diversity on that station. You know, they played like the traditional older stuff, and then they've got the 80s and 90s, and then they play some of the newer stuff. They even play some of the red dirt stuff, bluegrass.
Right.
I mean, they kind of do it all. And it's just cool thing. But I finally got to hear her voice again after all these years, and I was just sitting and listening, going, God, that's where you belong. I mean, she just sounds really good on the radio, and I was like, that's where you belong, you know. And it just brought back days of her being in Texas and her you know, being at WSM. I missed that voice on the radio.
Yeah, aww. Yeah, and in Texas she was playing your stuff, and I guess that's how you guys got together, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's how we met. I was actually down in the dumps, and my brother at the time, he was a fitness trainer at the time. And he was training this one DJ who worked at a radio station in San Antonio. And I was looking for a job at the time, trying to make some money. And my brother said, hey, you need to talk to one of these DJs that works for one of these country radio stations. I'm really good friends with her. I'm actually a personal trainer. And I was like, oh, really? And then he told me, and I was like, oh, wow, I heard her on the radio. And he's like, yeah, you need to get together and talk to her and see if you can go work for the radio station. They got some openings over there, you know. And I was like, oh, okay, well. And I didn't know what I'd be doing. And so I ended up calling her, and she's like, you need to call, you know, the marketing firm because they've got an opening in marketing. And I was like, oh, wow. So I worked in the marketing department there at KKYX and Y100 there. They're the big stations in San Antonio. I got a job working there. And that's how I met Jennifer. She was one of the DJs on KKYX. And well, at the time when I was working there, you know, I became good friends with the program director who was the program director for KKYX and Y100 FM. And we became good friends, and he knew I was a country singer, and I did a demo of one of my first songs that I did. And, you know, it was horrible. I mean, it wasn't very good. It was okay.
Yeah.
You know, and anyway, he liked it. He's like, man, I'm going to play it on the radio. I said, do not play that on the radio. And he's like, no, I'm going to play it. It's good. I was like, do not. I'm like, it is not good. Please don't play it. Well, I went back to work that evening, and I'm working. All of a sudden, this redhead
comes in. You hear it on the air.
She's like, are you Bobby? And I'm like, I turn around. I go, yeah. And I'm turning around. I look, and I go, whoa, who's this hot thing walking in here asking for me? I'm like, wow.
She does turn heads.
And anyway, she said, are you Bobby? And I said, I am. And she's like, she goes like, well, we're playing your song tonight. And I go, excuse me? And she goes, I'm actually debuting your song tonight. And I go, well, what do you mean debuting my song? And she's like, well, the program director gave me the song and I'm playing it tonight. I'm actually debuting it on my country cafe time slot. And I'm going, why? Why? I mean, I was just like so out of it, you know? And she's like, oh, no, everything's going to be all right. And I'm like, no, we cannot play that song. And she insisted. She says, no, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it. It sounds really good. And I'm like, okay. She ended up playing it that night. And she actually became the first DJ to ever play my stuff on the radio. And
that was it.
And then we just started kind of dating after that, after we met, through the years. But we had worked together for a good, it was probably 3 years, I guess, that we were together at that radio station working together. And then, like I said, we just became friends, over the years. And gosh, we were friends and dated for 10 years before we got married.
Oh, wow. I'm just amazed at how slow some people are. Because 10 years. Yeah. Mary Kay, what was 6 months?
Gary, I think some people are amazed at how quick we were.
Dating it for 10 years. All my friends are like, you're dating it for 10 years. Come on, Bobby, what are you thinking? When are you going to ask her to marry you? And I'm like,
oh, no. Gosh. Oh, wow. 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 Well, let's get to some more music. Let's get to some more music. This is one called That's Life. What can you tell us about this one, Bobby?
That's Life was also one of the first songs that I wrote when I came to Nashville, and I wrote it with a hit songwriter, Karen Staley, great songwriter. And I was trying to find something that would fit me and, as an artist and about my life growing up in a small town in Texas. And I had that idea, and we ended up writing it together. And it was actually one of my first songs that I did a video on, too, as well. We did a video at RCA Studio B, which today I am sure and I am very, very positive. I'm the only person to ever go in there and have a music video shot in that studio.
Oh, wow.
That's Life.
Wow. Wow. Well, let's take a listen to this amazing song who has the record for the first video in that studio. The only video in that studio. That's Life. Bobby Marquez will be back on Live from Nashville.
I was born in a tiny town where being poor never got us down. That's life. What Daddy say, that's life. He taught us to work, to chase our dreams. The golden rule, value lasting things. That's life. Well, yeah, son, that's life. Some you win, some you lose. Some you're born with, some you choose. You gotta play the hand you're dealt, believing God and yourself. I've seen a lot of change through the years. Love and loss, happiness and tears. That's life. But yeah, you know that's life. But for every hard lesson learned, I got 20 blessings in return. That's life. Well, thank God that's life. Circle that goes on and on. The darkest hours are before the dawn. A roller coaster of ups and downs. No matter what the world still spins round. Grandma died last Friday night. Sunday we went to church to say goodbye. That's life. Well, I guess that's life. Tuesday's sister had a baby boy. The family gathered round to share her joy. That's life. Well, oh yeah, that's life. Oh, that's life.
that's real life.
That's life. What a great song, Bobby. I am, you know, I'm a fan of your music. Both Gary and I are.
I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. It's well deserved. And you have lots of fans. You're out on the road. Can you tell us about your schedule and your upcoming tour?
Yeah. So we're actually this year it's going to be a Kick Up Some Dust tour. That's going to be the name of my tour. Kick Up Some Dust.
I love it.
You know, like usually, like when I go to Texas, I'll be playing a lot of the dance halls, you know, and I'll be throwing the sawdust out there, people dancing on the dance floor, you know, and I've been doing a lot of rodeo stuff. So I said, you know what? A perfect name is going to be Kick Up the Dust Tour. I thought it'd be kind of appropriate to call it that, you know.
Appropriate, and,
yeah. So we're going to go down to San Angelo, Texas. In September, we're going to be down there for the big cowboy gathering down there. And I'm so excited to be able to do this because I've been wanting to do this for years. And I was finally asked this year to go down there and do this show. And so I'm really, really excited about that. And I'm excited about heading to some more casinos back in Tunica, Mississippi. Going to be heading to Durango, Colorado. We heading back up to Wyoming, all that area, doing more shows. Branson. Got some more shows coming up in Branson, and I'm just excited, you know, about this year, and hopefully this year, you know, we're going to get back into the studio because I've got some new material that I've been working on with writing and stuff, and I've got some songs that I want to record, and even some Christmas songs. I've even written some Christmas stuff that I'm looking to, you know, go into the studio.
Oh, that'd
and record.
Be great.
And so I'm really excited about this year. Yeah, I'm just really excited about getting back out there on the road and doing some stuff. I don't travel during the winter time, you know, here in January. I don't actually kick off my tour until March, just for the simple fact that I had a lot of bad things happen in January and February touring on the road. And I told myself, I said, I am not going to do that, you know. So I haven't been doing that for the last two or three years, traveling in the winter time, you know, until March. So I'm just excited to get back out on the road again and get some new music out there. And like I said, I've been writing a lot, and I've been writing with a lot of my heroes too, that here lately. So I've got a lot of songs that I'm actually, working on right now, finishing up with some different folks and songwriters and stuff. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, we're looking forward to the new music from. Yeah.
And me and Mary Kay, we're going to get together and write us a song, aren't we, Mary Kay?
Yeah, I started to say
I'd love to see that. Maybe you guys might even sing a little bit together. That'd be kind of,
you know,
cool.
Mary Kay's got a great voice. She's one of my favorites when it comes to female vocalists, and great. Oh guys, you got a fantastic voice, music, entertainer. I love your stuff, and I'm so happy for you and everything that's been going on in your career. And I'm so happy to see all of the accolades now that you deserve. Cause I love seeing that from my friends, you know, I just love seeing all the success and everything that goes on. And I'm just so happy for you and Gary and Gary, gosh, Gary, you're winning all these awards now. What's going on with you?
I have no idea. I just,
it's the award-winning Gary Holt now.
I don't know about that.
I put that on my post today on social, Gary. I called you award winning. Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
You are very kind. You're very kind. Well, you know, one of the neat things, Bobby, at your event for St. Jude's this past year was seeing Johnny Rodriguez perform. And how did you guys get to be such good buddies?
You know, I was a huge Johnny Rodriguez fan growing up. I mean, I mean, he was always, my dad was always played his music, you know. Freddie Fender too was huge in our household.
Yeah.
My dad always played all everybody's music, from George Jones to everybody, but Johnny Rodriguez and Freddie Fender were two of the biggest that were played in my household. And growing up, you know, I had always, I mean, Johnny was just like it for me. I mean, he was like the George Strait back then, what George Strait is to me now. I mean, he was just it. And all these years, you know, I got to see him perform, you know, a couple times. And well, when I lived in San Antonio, of course, he used to come to the radio station all the time, and I always missed him all the time. Every time he came to the radio station, I had missed him. And most of the time he would come and he'd sit with Jennifer in the studio, and they'd talk on the radio, or he would call Jennifer on the radio, you know, when she had her classic country show on KKYX, and they became good friends. Well, when the CMA here in Nashville, they wanted to put together a Hispanic country music show. And at the time I knew the person there really, really well, who was the head of the CMA. And they had called me and said, "Hey, look, you know, we would like to see if you could put a show together." And I'm like, "Oh, wow, you know, I'd love to." And they were wanting to get Johnny Rodriguez. And I didn't know Johnny at the time. I really didn't know him. And so I'd asked Jennifer, I said, "You know, do you know Johnny, you know, that well?" And she's like, yeah, absolutely. And I said, "Well, the CMA's wanted to do a show, you know, with maybe him involved and him be the headliner." She was, "Well, let me call him and let me ask him." So she called and he said, "Man, I'd love to do it." And so she gave me his number and we started talking on the phone and we became good friends just talking on the phone. And then he came to do that show, and my band was the one that backed him on that show. So we had to learn all of his music. And ever since then, you know, we just became good friends. And then after that show that we did for the CMA, that next day was when we recorded Riding My Thumb to Mexico together. You know, we had time, and Johnny said, "Hey, I've got some time. I'm going to be here in Nashville for a couple of days. You want to record something?" And I'm going, "Yeah, that'd be great, but where are we going to go?" So I had a friend of mine who had a home studio, and I had a song that I thought would be a really good fit, you know, for me and him. And it was a song called Neon Tan. And another song that I recorded. So there's another version of me and Johnny Rodriguez singing Neon Tan that has never been released. And then, of course, you know,
I hadn't heard that.
Together. Yeah, nobody's heard it. Eventually I may put it out, but I just haven't done it yet. But there's a version of me and him singing Neon Tan. It's a pretty cool version. But we just became friends, you know, over the years. And, you know, we talked on the phone a lot of times. And then when he came here to Nashville again, you know, for my St. Jude show, I said, "Hey, look, I've been trying to get you for my St. Jude show for a while now." And he said, "Well, when is it?" And I told him, he said, "Man, I'd love to do it." And I said, "Well, we're not going to have a band. It's going to be a sit-down thing with just the acoustic guitar, you know." And he said, "Well, count me in." And so, you know, he ended up coming and doing the show. And he still sounds amazing, doesn't he? He sounds good.
He's got such an enormous spirit. Like, his energy filled the stage.
Yeah, you know, Johnny gets a lot of bad rap, you know, in the country music business for, you know, because his drugs and drinking that he did over the years. But really, he's such a really good person inside. He really is. He's really a good guy deep down inside. And, you know, and a lot of folks don't know that, because a lot of folks, you know, never really personally met him. But deep down inside, as a friend, he's really a good person. And he'll even tell you that, "Hey, look, I messed up years ago. I was young. You know, I got mixed up on this and that and really screwed a lot of things up. But I'm trying to make it right." And he is. He's trying to make it right. You know, and I think he's having the most fun right now doing what he's doing, you know. He just looks really good now. He's out there and he's having fun and singing again and doing some stuff here and there. He'll always be my friend and my hero, you know.
All right. Yeah. Well, it is great. Well, we're going to close out this part of the show with Riding My Thumb to Mexico with Bobby and Johnny. Give us your website so people can get your music and find out how they can follow your tour.
Yeah, they can go to www.bobbymarquez.com. It's MARQUEZ.com. Or they can go to facebook.com/BobbyMarquezMusic.
All right. Bobby Marquez Music on Facebook and his website. You got a great website, by the way. I was just on it a little while ago. But you have been
it's
so
really
much fun,
good.
My friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I owe you and Jennifer a dinner, so we're going to have to make that happen.
Yeah, we need to go out.
We
when
do.
It's not
that,
snowing.
That sounds great. We need to do that. We need to do that.
Yeah, not
sure.
This. Not this week. Not this week with the snow.
No, not this week.
Hey, we look forward to having you back, and tell Jennifer hi for us, okay?
I sure will. Thank you guys so much. I love you guys.
All right.
We
thanks, Bobby.
You.
Talk to you soon. All right. Here we go. Riding my thumb to Mexico. We'll be right back.
This old highway seems so lonesome when you're going where you've been. And a lonesome song can make you cry time and time again. If I'd listened to a friend of mine 10 years ago today, I'd have a better job than what I got today. But the billboards on the highways and the brake lights on the cars made me jump out on the highway with my bag and my guitar. If she comes or if she goes, it doesn't matter anymore, 'cause I'm riding my thumb to Mexico.
Riding my thumb to Mexico.
It don't matter when or how I go.
I'll ride this thumb till I see her again.
So I'm riding my thumb to Mexico. Well, the reason why she left me's not the reason that I'm here. I'm a traveling kind of man, just need a change of atmosphere.
If there's any place I haven't been at all, that's where I'll go. So I'm riding my thumb to Mexico.
Riding my thumb to Mexico.
It don't matter when or how I go. I'll ride this thumb till I see her again. So I'm riding my thumb to Mexico.
Riding my thumb to Mexico, Bobby Marquez, Johnny Rodriguez, Mary Kay. Has this been a fun show or what?
This has been a fun show. I hope our listening audience is enjoying it and finding our artists and reaching out to them by joining their email list, listening to their music. We do this to not only because we enjoy it, but because we want to shine a light on these artists.
Well, we have such great guests that join us, and I'm telling you what, if they're not friends when they come on to the show for the first time, they are after they've left. And,
it's been fun
visiting with friends for this anniversary show. Thanks for pointing that out to me, because I almost forgot it was our anniversary show of Live from Nashville. It's been a lot of fun. Well, we want to remind everybody to tune in on Thursdays for the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America. That all starts at noon Central Standard Time. And, of course, we've changed the date on Live from Nashville, so that's coming to you on Tuesdays. But you can listen to all of our shows at any time on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, most streaming platforms. Just search for EquestrianLegacy.net. And of course, you can always find us on our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. Well, we're going to say goodbye, darling, until next week. And we're going to close out this show with Come On Time, Mr. Willie Nelson. So we'll talk to you soon, and thank you all for listening.
Bye, y'all.
Time is my friend, the more I reject it, the more that it kicks in, just enough
to keep me on my toes. I say, come on, time. I've beat you before. Come on, time. What have you got for me this time? I'll take your words of wisdom, and I'll try to make them right. Hey, it's just me and you again. Come on, time. Time, you're not fooling me. You're something I can't kill. You're flying like a mighty wind. You're never standing still. Time, as you pass me by, why did you leave these lines on my face? You sure have put me in my place. Come on, time. Come on, time. It looks like you're winning the race. Time, you're not fooling me. You're something I can't kill. Time, as you pass me by, why did you leave these lines on my face? You sure have put me in my place. Come on, time. Come on, time. Looks like you were winning the race. Come on, time. Looks like you're winning the race.
When people gather in churches on Easter Sunday, many of Nashville's homeless will be searching for their next meal and a safe place to sleep. Thankfully, we have Nashville Rescue Mission, a place where people can come to be nourished physically and spiritually, where people can get what they need to get back on their feet. People like me. This Easter, bring joy to those in need. Donate today at NashvilleRescueMission.org.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.